Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, let me share with you the commission of the ministry that God gave to the founder, Brother Hitchcock, many years ago. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They've sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts." He said, "I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled, that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time." Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to get to know Him and grow up in Him and want to be ready for His appearing. Today I'm sharing a message called Lawless. Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 to 11. This is 1 Timothy chapter 1. Starting in verse 8, "But we know that the law is good if a man uses it lawfully." Verse 9, "Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers." Verse 10, "For whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine." Verse 11, "According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust." The word lawless in Strong's is number 459. It comes from another word which means lawless. That is, negatively, not subject to the Jewish law. By implication, a Gentile, or positively wicked, without law, lawless, a transgressor, unlawful, or wicked. By applying the law in the right way, the Jews had an advantage over the Gentiles. The law was designed by God to reveal wickedness appearing in the heart through conviction, so that those backsliding could repent quicker before reaping the consequences of sin. A failure to observe the daily practices of the law was an early sign of a love for God and His word growing cold. We read in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 7. This is in the book of Proverbs chapter 3, starting in verse 5. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." Verse 6, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Verse 7, "Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil." Many churches today see no value in regular accountability to elders with more godly wisdom living on the narrow way. The lawless church today accepts those who are wise in their own eyes with intellectual qualifications. Carnal Christians see acknowledging God in all your ways as legalistic or controlling. If this is your response to asking God what to wear or asking God what to eat, and when, it shows you are still lawless and listening to the devil's version of freedom instead. It is a privilege to ask God and benefit from His wisdom in all areas. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 and reading to verse 22. This is in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 11. "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands." Verse 12, "That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. Verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Verse 14. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Verse 15. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments, contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Verse 16. And that he might reconcile both unto God, in one body, by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Verse 17. And came and preached peace to you, which were far off, and to them that were nigh. Verse 18. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Verse 19. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God. Verse 20. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Verse 21. In whom all the building, fitly framed together, grows into an holy temple in the Lord. Verse 22. In whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. When you confessed your sins and humbled yourself, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, came inside you and made you nigh. Both Jew and Gentiles are lawless, doing things in the flesh. The Jews were a little closer to God than the Gentiles through the law and the ministry of reconciliation. However, those following Jesus, changing and submitted to the rightly revealed word through the Holy Spirit, are coming to truth in areas where they have repented to the root. They do not sin again. Those submitted to each other, built on Jesus Christ and the apostles, hear and follow the voice of Jesus under pressure. The apostles died for following the doctrine of Christ and did not compromise on sin. You became a habitation for God to control and use in this dark world too. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 to 21. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm reading verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous of God in him. Only in him are you righteous. Dressing up in fine religious clothes will not make you righteous within. It is by grace, through faith, that you gained access to the heart and mind of God for every situation. If you believe in righteousness by faith, you will ask God everything and stop leaning to your own understanding. God is speaking all the time. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 to verse 22. I'm reading Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, starting in verse 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Verse 18. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Verse 19. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Verse 20. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Verse 21. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. Verse 22. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. God abolished the law of commandments, but Jesus first fulfilled the law, without ever consulting his mind. In complicated situations, Jesus responded by doing only what God directed him to say and do. And in this way, he fulfilled all the prophecies. If you're born again, you have a better covenant based on better promises, following Christ by the Spirit. Your response in any situation should far exceed the righteousness of those trying to understand the things of God with their natural minds in the church and in the world. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 6, verses 14 to 16. This is in the book of Romans chapter 6, and reading verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Verse 16. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity, in Chapter 12 on Practical Applications, on page 182, Joseph Edgecott writes, The belief that you are automatically in Christ simply because you're born again is a false doctrine. When you are born again, two natures are present in you, the nature of Christ and the carnal nature, the flesh. Romans 6:16 explains the nature you are in is based on who is controlling you. There is no excuse for sin based on challenging circumstances because with grace you can do anything. God's precious promises are available when you abide in Christ, not when you visit Christ. Through confession of sin and humbling yourself, you are put in Christ. But it does not mean you are still there. What keeps you abiding in Christ is humility and obedience to the Spirit. If you are departing from the truth, you will experience conviction because God is faithful. We read in Isaiah 55, verses 5 to 9. This is in the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, starting in verse 5. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near. Verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. Verse 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Under the new covenant, every heart will be exposed. Conviction is evidence God is near. But you may choose to listen to your own flesh more than to God. If you abide in Christ, you will not experience condemnation. even when you're committing spiritual adultery. If you depart from him after you receive correction, then you left him for the sake of your flesh. To leave him, you have to harden your heart to God, resist the Holy Spirit, and be a miserable believer without peace and joy. He never leaves or forsakes those following him. So when you lose his presence, it's because you love your own ways rather than his. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 16 to 21. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm reading verse 16. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Verse 17. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. Verse 18. Who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are his. And let every one that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Verse 20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honour and some to dishonour. Verse 21. If a man therefore purges himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honour, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Timothy was told not to entertain discussions with those becoming more ungodly. If you cannot stop sinning under the pressure in this world to make money and the busyness of life, then you're not using what God has provided. By using your mind, you will not come to the truth and believe lies instead. Those with a solid foundation have the ability to overcome sin in all circumstances. Do not deceive yourself. The kingdom of God is here now by the Spirit, and God will use those coming to truth and repenting of root issues for more noble purposes in these last days. We read in Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 to 10. This is in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, I'm reading verse 7. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. Verse 8. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreads out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat comes. But her leaves shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, and according to the fruit of his doings. In the Living Bible, Jeremiah 17, 9-10 says, the heart is the most deceitful thing there is, and desperately wicked. No one can really know how bad it is. Only the Lord knows. He searches all hearts and examines deepest motives, so he can give to each person his right reward according to his deeds, how he has lived. If you have a close relationship with God, it's not difficult to notice when God is resisting. There is an abundance of fruit when he is in charge. God is the one trying the reins of your heart, not the devil. To be consistently righteous, you have to obey the Spirit from the heart, not the mind. This is God's plan for all mankind. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 14 to 17. This is Hebrews chapter 10, I'm reading verse 14. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Verse 15. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he had said before. Verse 16. This is the covenant I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. Verse 17. and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Anyone can follow his example because he had no advantage over us. Let God expose areas where you are still lawless, deceiving yourself for the sake of your own flesh. You need his specific laws written on your heart to keep you from being unfaithful. Otherwise, you'll be like the religious leaders that Jesus called the blind leading the blind. The blind resist the Holy Spirit, reap the consequences of sin first, and wake up if it's not too late. There is an easy way and a hard way of doing everything. His laws and instructions for daily living in your hearts and minds is the easy way. This will include his timing to do certain activities. He is Lord of all. He loves you, and with his commands written in your heart and mind, he will remember your sins no more. If you are lawless, you cannot claim this promise. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, verses 7 and 8. This is in the book of Romans chapter 8, I'm reading verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. Verse 8. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. The Living Bible in Romans 8, verses 7 and 8 says, because the old sinful nature within us is against God, it never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That is why those who are still under the control of their old sinful selves, bent on following their old evil desires, can never please God. The flesh is lawless, so don't listen to it. The flesh will not submit to God's laws or his ways. If you want to please God, you have to believe that there is nothing good in the flesh, and that it is lawless in all areas. It cannot be changed or converted. We read in the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, verses 1 to 7. This is in the book of Isaiah, chapter 6. I'm starting in verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Verse 2. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. And with twain he did fly. Verse 3. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Verse 4. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Verse 5. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Verse 6. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. Verse 7. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. The word iniquity in Strong's is number 5771. It comes from another word which means perversity, that is evil, fault, iniquity, mischief, punishment of iniquity, or sin. Uzziah was a great king in Judah. He began to reign as a king at 16 years of age. And he reigned for 52 years. According to the Bible, Uzziah did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. He set himself to seek God. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. Uzziah woke up and realized he had unclean lips, fellowshipping with those not keeping their tongue under control. When Uzziah died and circumstances changed, this world is passing away, and if you are looking to politics for a solution and listening to conspiracy theories, your lips are unclean too. Those conformed to this world today often speak negatively about authorities and kings in their generation. Those who remain consistently righteous through a testing time have their hope in God. Godly wisdom says if you change your lifestyle, and learn lessons that you need to learn, then you are no longer part of the problem, because you are the person God intended in all holiness. James wrote in James chapter 1, verses 19 to 21. This is in the book of James chapter 1, starting in verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Verse 20. For the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. Verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. God gave the law to the Jews to help them repent and prevent the rampant outgrowth of wickedness in their own lives. They did not see conviction as a blessing. Now, by the Spirit, you can repent and help others living in darkness. Your soul will be saved through the word of truth and conviction, not by memorizing the written word. You will depart from the truth if His word is not engrafted in you. You cannot be saved based on a correctly worded prayer, as this would be salvation by works. At salvation, God heard a cry from your heart. You were born again by your faith in God to save you from your sins, in the same way that Christ trusted the Father to raise Him from the dead by obeying His instructions. You understood that Christianity is not just another religion. Faith has to be in God right up to the end of your life, as you'll be spending eternity with Him. Christianity has become a religion today that allows the inconsistently righteous to do what they want, when they want, and remain lawless. If this is the case, your treasure is here, on this earth. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, verses 5 and 6. This is the book of Romans, chapter 8. I'm reading verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Romans 8, 5 and 6 says, for those who are according to the flesh are controlled by its unholy desires. Set their minds on and pursue those things which gratify the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit are controlled by the desires of the Spirit. Set their minds on and seek those things which gratify the Holy Spirit. Now the mind of the flesh, which is sense and reason without the Holy Spirit, is death. Death that comprises all the miseries arising from sin, both here and hereafter. But the mind of the Holy Spirit is life and soul peace, both now and forever. The carnal mind is hostile to God, always analyzing God's decisions. Carnal Christians identify with those who follow vain traditions or do dead works for the sake of outward righteousness, but they do not seek righteousness in complicated situations by listening to the Holy Spirit. Use the peace of God to hear the word of truth you need when things are not peaceful. Obeying the Holy Spirit will prevent you from doing something else outside of God's perfect will for your life in thought, purpose, and action. Paul was writing to the church in Rome and explained doctrines they knew already. By processing truth with their natural minds, they experienced death, not life. They did not see conviction as a blessing or apply sound teaching immediately by grace through faith. If you process truth with your mind, the devil will talk you out of it. What you hear in one ear will go out of the other, because the devil will offer you a counterfeit if you have a confidence in the flesh. We read in Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 9. I'm reading verse 23. And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Luke 9:23 says, And he said to all, if any person wills to come after me, let him deny himself, disown himself, forget, lose sight of himself and his own interests, refuse and give up himself, and take up his cross daily and follow me. Cleave steadfastly to me, conform wholly to my example in living and, if need be, in dying also. Jesus did not lock up the devil or remove the pagan Roman authorities to make it easier when he came the first time. You have to deny yourself and take up your cross daily. The church today that does not see the need to deny self and take up one's own cross daily is asleep. Some believe weekly is enough, or only when the circumstances demand. Churches that have departed from the teachings of Jesus do not know what it means to deny self and take up your cross daily. In just one generation, the church has become more ignorant. Never adjust the word of God to fit your lifestyle. Always adjust your lifestyle to fit the word of God. At salvation, the word you received was a lifeline because you saw the reality of hell and you are reaping the consequences of sin. You gladly accepted his word and his terms of salvation by making Jesus Lord. What has changed? Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 to 22. This is in 2 Peter chapter 2, I'm reading verse 20. For after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Verse 21. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Verse 22. But it's happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is returned to his own vomit again, and the sow that has washed to her wallowing in the mire. Those wallowing in the mire reserve the right to make the decisions with their own minds. They have faith in God for some earthly gain and have created a false God that meets the needs and desires of their flesh. If you come to the living God, you have to believe he is God and that he is love. I often heard Joseph say, I have already decided that my answer is yes, Lord, in my heart, before I ever hear what God commands me to do. When I heard Joseph saying yes to God first, before God speaks, it was like, oh no, that's not right. I was kindly minded and said to him, this is a dangerous way to live. I shared my feelings with Joseph based on fear, and I had to repent. I was the one living dangerously. I had unbelief in my heart. Now the decision in my heart is yes, before I ever hear his voice. I'm like a little child now, and rely on the Holy Spirit to lead me into all truth. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 34. This is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I'm reading verse 34. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. The knowledge of God is designed to bring some discomfort to the sinner and the backslider and wake him up to righteousness. You can also have peace and quality time with God through the gift of eternal life and the forgiveness of sins. You are privileged to have access to the mind and heart of God through the gift of the Holy Spirit, by grace through faith. If you're still using your mind to make decisions, do not deceive yourself, because you have no desire to do the perfect will of God. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. This is in the book of Romans chapter 12, I'm reading verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If you are born again, you can experience the life God planned by staying humble. Jesus is coming back for those who are following him, not those using natural wisdom to solve problems in this world for the sake of their flesh. If you are making the flesh more comfortable, then you are not a living sacrifice for God. Instead, you are still lawless. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. This is in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, and reading verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Verse 2. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Verse 4. But God is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us. Verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. Verse 6. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Verse 7. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Verse 8. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Verse 9. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them. The word workmanship in Strong's is number 4161. It comes from another word which means a product. That is a fabric, literally or figuratively, thing that is made, workmanship. If you're born again, you're supposed to be someone completely different, not using your mind to make decisions anymore, doing dead works that he never directed by the Holy Spirit. You are putting Christ to do the works God ordained you to do. When you do these works, his spirit will come on you and he will do the work through you. The anointing is a confirmation of his workmanship, so you need to expect many changes along the way. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 7, I'm reading verse 10. For godly sorrow works repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world works death. Conviction is a blessing that you will experience if you are born again, an alarm to those who have departed from sound teaching. If bad fruit is still manifesting, you did not repent deeply enough or get to the root issue. You may have repented of bad works, but not dead works. Worldly sorrow over dead works, good or bad, leads to death too. In the Message Bible, Jeremiah 17 verses 9 to 10 says, the heart is hopelessly dark and deceitful, a puzzle that no one can figure out. But I, God, search the heart and examine the mind. I get to the heart of the human. I get to the root of things. I treat them as they really are, not as they pretend to be. Only the Holy Spirit can get to the root issue, because there is no corruption in God. If you are frustrated or react when convicted, then you're still using your mind to make decisions, serving two masters. You have unbelief and want to go back to your former lifestyle, like the children of Israel wanting to go back to Egypt. You like the devil's version of freedom, where you get to do what you want, when you want. Godly sorrow goes deeper and helps you identify areas that need to be changed with God's help. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 15, this is John's Gospel, chapter 14, I'm reading verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. For more information about how to develop a love relationship with God through Jesus' commands, please read the book How Love Grows by Joseph Hedgecock. Keeping his commands is part of your love relationship with God. The Holy Spirit will expose the fact that you love something more than Jesus. When you repent and stop believing lies you accepted for the sake of your flesh, you will please God. When you repent, your faith returns to you so that you can release it into the truth he reveals instead. His commands are custom made for you personally, and he knows where you're deceiving yourself. You should be seeking his commands and make a list of them, not trying to avoid them. Jesus said in John 14, verse 24 to 26. This is John's Gospel, chapter 14, and reading verse 24. And he that loves me not keeps not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Verse 25. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. Verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. The Holy Spirit was given to the disciples, and you also received him, and were born again when you decided to follow Jesus in your heart. God does not have two standards. You have been given the Holy Spirit to lead you to the commands that you need to obey first. He becomes your teacher. And if you study with his help, what is necessary to obey, you will change. If you are not changing, you are making excuses, and the Holy Spirit is not your teacher. You should have read the written word or the Bible at least once, so the Holy Spirit can bring back to your remembrance those verses he wants you to know and use at any point in time. Whatever the Holy Spirit brings to your remembrance is the true knowledge of God, for you to apply to your situation or even study. What you think you know using your own mind will hinder you from the true knowledge of God you need. Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 3, verses 10 to 17. This is in the book of Colossians chapter 3. I'm reading verse 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Verse 13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Verse 14, and above all things put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Verse 16, let the word of God dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. The new man is humble, forgiving others, because without grace and truth, everyone will sin. You will lose the peace of God if you judge others. If you blame others for your own failures, you have not repented of dead works, because with grace you can do anything. Jesus showed us the way without ever sinning, trusting his Father to make the right decisions, and even giving his life for his enemies on the cross. The word of God will dwell in you richly after you put on the new man. John wrote in 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 to 6. This is 1 John chapter 2, I'm reading verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Verse 3. Hereby we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. Verse 4, and he that says, I know him, and keeps not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Verse 5, but whosoever keeps his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Verse 6, and he that says he abides in him ought himself also to walk even as Christ walked. Having Jesus' commands and instructions is an advantage you need in these last days. Keep his commands and do not make excuses in challenging circumstances. Only God can make an exception to the command because he gave it. The lessons you learn submitted to God will help you get to know God and overcome by faith. You will not be making the same mistake twice if you're listening to God. Reject carnal wisdom and ask God for a list of commands for your own life. Those who seek his commands know he loves them. John wrote in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. This is in 1 John chapter 4, I'm reading verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. Verse 8, and he that loves not knows not God, for God is love. Your ability to love others comes from your relationship with God. Brothers and sisters following Jesus are not hard to love. Those in the flesh and self-seeking are much harder to love. A consistent ability to love is in those born of God, keeping his commands, not in those born again. In the kingdom, you will have whatever you need to do everything God says when you're submitted to him. You're born again by grace, but you are born of God by staying humble. John wrote in 1 John chapter 2, verses 14 to 17. This is 1 John chapter 2 and verse 14. I've written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I've written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you've overcome the wicked one. Verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Verse 17. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God abides forever. Young foolish Christians are drawn away by the lust of the eyes to get something they want now, rather than wait for God's timing. The pride of life causes them to make decisions based on lies they want to believe for the sake of their own flesh and earthly gain. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 5, verses 24 and 25. This is in the book of Galatians chapter 5, and reading verse 24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. You get in the Spirit by confessing your sin and humbling yourself. To walk in the Spirit, you have to stay humble and only do what God directs and allows. Do not let others change your priorities and make you go faster to get something this world says you must have, based on man's wisdom. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 to 12. This is 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting in verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Verse 7. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. Verse 8. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Verse 9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Those who live in the kingdom of God have contentment and godliness at whatever standard of living they find themselves. They progress at God's speed, not driven by wrong priorities to have a more comfortable life for the flesh, based on the wisdom that is in this world. James wrote in James chapter 1, verses 5 to 12. This is in the book of James chapter 1. I'm reading verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to all men liberally, and upbraids not, and it shall be given him. Verse 6. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Verse 7. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Verse 8. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Verse 9. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. Verse 10. But the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. Verse 11. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withers the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Verse 12. Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. In the Message Bible, James 1, 5 to 12 says this. If you don't know what you're doing, pray to the Father. He loves to help. You'll get his help and won't be condescended to when you ask for it. Ask boldly, believing, without a second thought. People who worry their prayers are like wind-whipped waves. Don't think you're going to get anything from the Master that way. Adrift at sea, keeping all your options open. When down and outers get a break, cheer. And when the arrogant rich are brought down to size, cheer. Prosperity is as short-lived as a wildflower, so don't even count on it. You know that as soon as the sun rises, pouring down its scorching heat, the flower withers. Its petals wilt, and before you know it, that beautiful face is a barren stem. Well, that's a picture of the prosperous life. At the very moment everyone is looking on in admiration, it fades away to nothing. Anyone who meets a testing challenge head on and manages to stick it out is mighty fortunate. For such persons, loyally, in love with God, the reward is life and more life. Carnal Christians say, I would do what God says if only he would tell me what he wants me to do. They put the responsibility on God for speaking, but they are not hearing. They are listening to their flesh and deceiving themselves because God is speaking all the time. He will grant you his wisdom without partiality. If you humble yourself, he knows you better than you know yourself. So his answers will be different for each person. If you start to think, you will doubt God's wisdom and disobey. You should have just one mind, that God knows best, and obey because you love him. We read in the Psalms 119, verses 10 to 16. This is in the Psalms 119, I'm reading verse 10. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Verse 11. The word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Verse 12. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. Verse 13. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. Verse 14. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, as much as in all riches. Verse 15. I will meditate in thy precepts, and have respect unto thy ways. Verse 16. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. The psalmist knew keeping his righteous commands bring life and safety in every situation. What you believe in your heart is what you do, even when you are deceived. The psalmist was hiding the word of truth in his heart so that he would be convicted rather than sin against God. The law just sitting on the shelf is not enough. The psalmist was not using the knowledge of the law just to say all the right things and hide his true motives. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verses 31 to 37. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12, starting in verse 31. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. Verse 32. And whosoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaks against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Verse 33. Either make the tree good, and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt, and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. Verse 34. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Verse 35. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. Verse 36. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Verse 37. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Jesus told the religious leaders to make the fruit good or bad. Bad fruit will manifest in a challenging situation where you do not have a deep enough foundation to handle it. You can make your fruit good by humbling yourself and confessing your sin and staying humble. Your life will never change if you still believe there is something good in the flesh. Look at your responses to the Holy Spirit when you are convicted. There is no higher court than the Holy Spirit. His judgments are always correct because he searches the heart. If you start speaking against the Holy Spirit and his work, how will you be saved? Jesus said to the religious leaders in John chapter 5, verses 39 and 40. This is John's Gospel, chapter 5. I'm starting in verse 39. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Verse 40. And you will not come to me, that you might have life. In the Message Bible, John 5, 39 to 40 says, ye have your heads in your Bibles constantly because you think you'll find eternal life there. But you miss the forest for the trees. These scriptures are all about me. And here I am, standing right before you. And you aren't willing to receive from me the life you say you want. You do not need more knowledge of the scriptures. You just need to come to him and repent of what he shows you, and he will give you more. Accept every word of conviction, whether you agree with it or not. If you come to Jesus and learn from him, you will find rest for your souls. If not, then you're trusting in your own righteousness and have a confidence in the flesh. We read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 20 to 25. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, and reading verse 20. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Verse 21. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Verse 22. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Verse 23. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. Verse 24. But woe unto you that are rich, for you have received your consolation. Verse 25. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. Those hungering for a righteousness that even works in complicated situations please God. They are not seeking an outward form of righteousness based on saying a religious prayer or keeping some traditions. They rejoice. Do not answer back or react, and learn important spiritual lessons in all situations. Those who are religious or just have a natural education in this world will be jealous. The kingdom of God is here now for those with a heart after God. You have the Holy Spirit inside you. That is the Spirit of truth to get you to the root of sin. Those left behind resisting the Holy Spirit, making excuse for sin, will be crushed by the fact that they deceive themselves calling Jesus Lord. Those following Jesus, maintaining their confession in the face of persecution, will be rejoicing like they have inherited great riches when Jesus appears. Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, this is in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, and reading verse 21, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. In the Living Bible, Matthew 7:21 says, not all who sound religious are really good people. They may refer to me as Lord, but still won't get to heaven. For the decisive question is whether they obey my Father in heaven. It is not enough to be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. The standard of the law is high because it was designed to reveal sin. But God's standards are much higher than the law. All those leaning their own understanding in these last days will be left behind. Those who are following Jesus have the right priorities, relying on the kingdom of God to get the help they need to do everything in conformity to his will in thought, purpose, and action. The resources are available for you to hear God and make decisions without ever consulting your mind. Jesus said in Matthew 18, verses 1 to 4. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, I'm starting in verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Verse 2. And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them. Verse 3. And said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God is here now for you to break old habits of just saying the right things. Stop seeking an outward form of righteousness that others might want to see. Be like a little child and go to bed at the time he says every day. His commands are like goads for your life personally, so that you do not do the things you later regret. You should be living a chastened life of obedience if you want to be ready for his appearing. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 11 to 14. This is Ecclesiastes chapter 12. I'm reading verse 11. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. Verse 12. And further by these, my son, be admonished. Of making many books, there is no end. And much study is a weariness of the flesh. Verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Verse 14. For God shall bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. His commands are more valuable than all the riches you could earn or gain to make problems go away. You should have a testimony that Jesus' personal commands have kept you safe from a way that seems right, going after things in this world and serving sin. We read in Proverbs chapter 14, verses 12 to 16. This is in the book of Proverbs chapter 14, I'm reading verse 12. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Verse 13. Even in laughter the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. Verse 14. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. Verse 15. The simple believes every word, but the prudent man looks well to his going. Verse 16. A wise man feareth and departs from evil, but the fool rages and is confident. The law was not to be used to create religious doctrines that would enable those yielding to the flesh to have an outward form of righteousness and play lip service to God. It is lawless to do what you want when you want. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 22 and 23. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, and read verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Verse 23. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. The word iniquity in Strong's is number 458. It comes from another word which means illegality, that is, a violation of law, or generally wickedness, iniquity, much transgression of the law, or unrighteousness. In the Living Bible, Matthew 7, 22 and 23 says, At the judgment, many will tell me, Lord, Lord, we told others about you and used your name to cast out demons and to do many other great miracles. But I will reply, You have never been mine. Go away, for your deeds are evil. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Matthew 7, 22 and 23 says, Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in the name, driven out demons, and in your name done many mighty works in your name? And then I will say to them openly, publicly, I never knew you. Depart from me. You act wickedly, disregarding my commands. Anyone disregarding Jesus' commands is acting wickedly, according to the Amplified Bible. The commands of Jesus are the very things you need to keep yourself from falling into the trap of the enemy. While you are obeying his commands, you cannot be serving sin. The commands that come from Jesus are based on his love for you. God is love, and he knows you better than you know yourself. If you listen to your feelings, you will deceive yourself. In the New King James Version, Matthew 7, 22 and 23 says, Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. The kingdom of heaven is a real place with boundaries, just like any other country in its own right. Enter this kingdom now before time runs out. If you believe it's hard to enter, it'll be hard for you. If you believe it's easy to enter, it will be easy. Your faith determines what you experience. Do not make it difficult on yourself. You only believe lies about God because you want an excuse to do what you want when you want, for the sake of your own flesh. John said in 3 John chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. I'm reading 3 John chapter 1, starting in verse 1. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Verse 2. Behold, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Verse 3. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walketh in the truth. Verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Verse 5. Beloved, thou dost faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. Verse 6, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Verse 7, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. Verse 8. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. The Bible, including the law, is a unique document that includes all of Jesus' sayings. If you love Jesus, you will love the truth. The word of truth is something you will find hidden within the pages of the written word. It's there for those seeking the perfect will of God for their life in thought, purpose, and action. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 to 11. This is 1 Peter chapter 5, and reading verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Verse 10. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Verse 11. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. God can make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you, but you must resist the devil steadfastly, offering earthly wisdom and a short-term solution that appeals to your flesh. You cannot serve God and mammon. All dominion and power belongs to Jesus now, after Jesus overcame the cross. God will get the glory if you just use his grace to hear and obey by trusting God with all your heart. The devil uses fear in a way that seems right as a snare for those using their minds to make decisions. The kingdom of God is here now, in a lifeline if you have a heart after God. The kingdom of God is like living in the eye of a hurricane. You have to pass through some afflictions to be ready for his appearing. In the center of God's will is a peace that passes all understanding. This is not a peace like the world can give, but a perfect peace. His peace is based on doing God's perfect will with his anointing on you as a result. Please try to answer the following questions. Number one, are you at rest spiritually doing the will of God? Number two, are you learning spiritually with just some minor corrections? Number three, is your soul at rest, or are you still striving for something in this world? Number four, is the yoke and the burden you carry your own or the Lord's? All the problems in your Christian life can be traced back to an inability to make Jesus Lord of all. For you to complete your salvation, you need him to be the one directing you in all areas. Man is corrupt and incapable of making the right decisions, since he was cut off from God through sin. To be without his commands occupying your time and resources, you are giving place to the flesh and the devil. The foundation established by our Lord Jesus Christ is hearing and obeying his voice all the time. You were created to bring joy to the Father this way as well. We read in Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. This is Matthew chapter 3, I'm reading verse 16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. Verse 17. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Museums are full of knowledge man has gained over a period of time. Man may think that he is smarter than the previous generation, but is that the truth? In the past, many other generations, if they saw what was happening in the world today, would have repented much sooner, humbled themselves, and made Jesus Lord. David said in the Psalms, chapter 33, verses 12 to 20. This is the Psalms, chapter 33 and verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he had chosen for his own inheritance. Verse 13. The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. Verse 14. From the place of his habitation, he looks upon all the inhabitants of the earth. Verse 15. He fashions their hearts alike. He considers all their works. Verse 16. There is no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. Verse 17. A horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Verse 18. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. Verse 19. To deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Verse 20. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Jesus has been given all authority to judge because he proved the righteous demands of God can be met perfectly in all those led by the Spirit. If you believe this in your heart, then you will follow Christ by denying yourself and taking up your cross daily. You should have made the decision to follow Christ regardless of the cost in order to save your soul. The narrow way should have been presented to you as the only means to save yourself. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 13, verses 1 to 12. I'm reading the book of Romans chapter 13, starting in verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Verse 2. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Verse 3. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. Verse 4. For he is the minister of God to thee for good, but if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he bears not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that does evil. Verse 5. Wherefore you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. Verse 6. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they that are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Verse 7. Render therefore to all their duties, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Verse 9. For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Verse 10. Love worketh no evil to his neighbor. Therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Verse 11. And that knowing the time that now is, it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Verse 12. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. You do not get the armor of light by being lawless. You must be subject to all authority God has established in your life. You expose the lies you believe in your heart in the process of being submitted, even when the authorities in power are corrupt. Those living in the light do not make the same mistake twice. Those who are wise learn spiritual lessons and do not blame anyone else, including governments, politicians, and authorities put there by God to punish evildoers. Some in the church were not paying their taxes and had to repent. The righteousness contained in the Ten Commandments can be fulfilled by doing for your neighbor things out of love you would want him or her to do for you in a trial or difficult circumstances. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. This is Hebrews chapter 6. I'm reading verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. Verse 2, of the doctrine of baptisms, and of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. Verse 3, and this will we do, if God permit. If you have repented of dead works, you should be doing the works God ordained you to do with grace and truth, regardless of what others are doing or not doing. You will never become perfect, always speaking evil about others. If you are judging others, you'll be judged. You should not be using natural wisdom when you have access to God's wisdom. Those listening to conspiracy theories in these last days are using their minds. To come to truth using your mind, you have to resist the Holy Spirit and become lawless. Paul also wrote in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 11 and ring to verse 20. This is Hebrews chapter 6, starting in verse 11. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Verse 12. That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Verse 13. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. Verse 14. Saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. Verse 15. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Verse 16. For when men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation, is to them an end of all strife. Verse 17. Wherein God willingly, more abundantly, to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. Verse 18. That by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, he might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Verse 19. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters into that within the veil. Verse 20. Whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. You will not inherit the promises just because you're born again. You inherit the promises by following Christ and refusing to compromise on righteous standards God reveals to you in complicated situations by the Holy Spirit. There is no standard set of commandments to follow. Like Christ, you need to seek a righteousness apart from the law, yoked to him, keeping his commands out of love. Jesus is our example because he had the fruit of overcoming death, hell and the grave, and was victorious. Paul wrote in Hebrews 7, verses 1 to 3. This is Hebrews 7, starting in verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings, and blessed him. Verse 2. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Verse 3. Without father, without mother, and without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. No one can live in God's kingdom if they do not do what he said. Abraham witnessed that Melchizedek was a king because he was righteous and living in peace with all his neighbors. He had not been removed because he pleased God by faith and was happy to give him a tenth of all his winnings from battles he won righteously. Paul wrote in Romans 14, verses 17 to 23. This is in the book of Romans, chapter 14, and reading verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Verse 18, for he that in these things serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Verse 19, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. Verse 20, for meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but is evil for that man who eats with an offence. Verse 21, it is good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine nor anything whereby thy brother stumbles or is offended or made weak. Verse 22, hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemns not himself in that thing which he allows. Verse 23, and he that doubts is damned if he eat, because he eats not of faith. But whatever is not of faith is sin. The kingdom of God is here now, and it is not proven by an abundance of food on the table. The kingdom is established in you by making Jesus Lord of your life. You will have peace and joy in all circumstances, whether you are abounding or being abased. The kingdom of God does not give you authority to make up rules for one activity after another, condemning yourself and causing others to stumble. Instead, everything you do is righteous now, because you first hear his voice and do what he says by faith. Anything else is sin because Jesus is Lord. If you want to hear, get to know, and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice, by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to make a fresh start, make him Lord, and live in the light, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity, by Joseph Hedgecock. If you really want to submit to the Spirit by regular repentance, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually, by Joseph Hedgecock. You need to make sure that you get on the narrow path, the broad road that leads to destruction, looks good, and is signposted heaven this way. Many well-meaning, good people attending church are on this road. I believe this book will help you. The Guilty Prison, Revised Edition, by Joseph Hedgecock. Today I've been sharing a message about being lawless. Jesus submitted himself completely to the Father, and you can do the same. Jesus went before you. He submitted himself to the Father. His whole life he laid in his hands, and we are now commanded to do the same thing and put ourselves in his hands, to become a living sacrifice. That is the only safe place for each one of us. This is not a lawless life. This is a life that is submitted to our Lord Jesus Christ. And we know he never made a wrong decision. He was not corrupt, and no guile was found within him. So you can trust him with all your heart. Seek his commands. And these commands are going to be things that God says for you to do, whatever level you are at. And he will never try you beyond what you're able to endure. Let me pray with you right now. Father, for those who've been listening to this message, and they're saying, how can I submit myself to you? Father, I pray that you manifest your love to them right now, that they will know that you have their best interests at heart. And as they surrender all and seek your specific commands for your life and repent of whatever you show them, Father, that you nurture and grow them through your Holy Spirit working in their hearts, in Jesus' precious name. God bless you. You can find a summary of the scriptures used in today's message below the video, either written out or via a link to a website. Our contact details will follow at the end of this message. God bless you, and thank you for listening.